Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's great to see you this morning. I am really just a simple guy, so you can come say hey anytime you see me. As you know, the scripture passage today is Psalm 23. If you're not already there, feel free to turn there in your Bibles. I am from the U.S. I'm from Colorado, and I am the youngest of nine children, and most all my siblings are married, and they have their families, and I actually have 35 nieces and nephews, with one more on the way, I think. So we're taking the earth by storm, I guess. Just kidding. I've been here in Singapore for about a year, or actually a little over a year now. And I have not quite picked up Singlish yet as far as speaking, but I can understand a lot better than I did when I first came. And it's really been a blessing to be here in Singapore and to get to know you sweet people and to work alongside those at Pastor Pangang Christ Church and work alongside just the body of Christ as we reach this island, this red dot for the Lord's sake. So, what I would like to speak today, or share with you today, is something that the Lord has been and is still teaching me for quite some time now. I am a slow learner, but hopefully a fine learner. But we've already gone through the passage a couple times, but before we dive into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's give this time to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your grace to us. Lord, I thank you that all across this world and pockets here and there, people are meeting today to worship you. Father, you are worthy of worship. You are worthy of our praise. And you are worthy of our trust. Lord, I pray that you would give me grace to hide behind you today, and that you would speak through your word, and that we would understand what it means to know you as our shepherd. I pray that you would give me the words to say. I pray that I would not say anything I should not. I pray that I say all that I should. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Do you know your shepherd? Psalm 23 is a very much loved passage. I'm sure all of you are very familiar with it, and many people, whether they claim Christianity or not, is probably very familiar with this beautiful passage. And though we are in Singapore, and though there are not any, or not that I know of, livestock shepherds that keep sheep around, bear with me as I, and imagine with me that you are a shepherd today, that you take care of sheep, and imagine what those sheep feel like, what they think. Sheep are notorious for their lack of intelligence, and the fact that a shepherd has to take care of them 24/7 is quite the task for a shepherd. Imagine with me, you're on the hillside with a flock. They have just now laid down. They've been eating for a little bit. Imagine you are one of those sheep laying there. You had just filled your stomach full of fresh grass turf. And all of a sudden, a whistle goes out, a high shriek, and you know what that means. That means those dogs, they're coming after you. Reluctantly, the flock gets up because they know that these dogs are following the shepherd's orders as the whistles go here and there. But the herd is very reluctant today because, they're getting up kind of early. And they're not used to getting up so early. In fact, they just got down to this valley just a couple hours before. Why is the shepherd getting them up at this time? Well, the shepherd senses their reluctance, and whistles start going more frequently, and the dogs are working more hastily, and the sheep are dragging their feet. Finally, after some time, the sheep are finally walking the steep climb back toward the farm, back toward the pen. Sheep are grumbling to themselves about their shepherd. What is he doing? Why is he doing that? Why is he calling these dogs so early? We just got down here. There's no more grass up on the top. Why are we going back up there? Finally, they get back to the farm after the steep climb up the hill, up the mountain. And they get into the pen, and then when they're all in there, the shepherd does another unthinkable thing. He lets the dogs into the pen, and they start corralling all the sheep into the barn, into the corral there. All the sheep are very frustrated with their shepherd right now. This guy, what is he doing? Well, all those sheep decided to grumble. They talk together. They complain one to another, like I'm sure we all know how we can do sometimes. Why did he bring us back up so early in the day? It's not even starting to get dark out. I mean, why did he cram us into this pen? Why couldn't he leave us in at least the fenced area? Who wants to get a new shepherd and get rid of those dogs? Everyone who's in favor of getting rid of the shepherd, say bah, bah. Just then, the barn lights up, and a peal of thunder splits the air. And as the torrents of rain pour down on that barn, each one of those sheep is increasingly thankful for their good shepherd. Do you know your shepherd? Many of us we can be like those sheep. We can complain a lot about the little things in life. We can grumble one to another and wonder why things are going the way they are. We can complain about the haze, which, praise the Lord, is fairly gone this morning. If you've been in the South recently, it's been quite a bit hazy down there. But if you look at this passage, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, writes this very short psalm describing to us our shepherd. Now, we don't know exactly when David wrote this passage of Scripture. Could be when he was a shepherd himself. Could be that he was sitting there with the sheep, musing over what his shepherd was like. Could be while he was running from Saul, King Saul, remembering and knowing with firm confidence what his shepherd is like. Could have been when he was a king, when he was shepherding the nation of Israel, knowing that, well, the Lord is his shepherd. Regardless of what time of life David wrote this, David knew his shepherd. Let's walk through the passage this morning. Psalm 23. My clicker seems to not be following instructions. Regardless, we can move forward. Sorry, yeah. We see in this passage, we learn something about our shepherd. We learn that his sheep, they lack for nothing. But do we really know that about our shepherd? We learn from the very first few verses, the verses 1 through 3. If we were to look at them, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
You see, the Lord's sheep, they lack for nothing because the shepherd provides blessings. I'm sure we all know this. We all experience this. He provides for their pleasant places. We all know what it's like to go through blessings in life. We all tend to testify, especially during those times when the Lord has given to us blessings, an answered prayer, relationship, whether it be a new job, passing that PSLE next week, or whatever it may be. We know that he provides for a blessing. I was with the youth at PPCC just yesterday, and one of the students made a very good comment. He said, the Lord has been good to me this week, and he shared how he has been good to him this week. And it was a blessing, and we rejoiced with him in that blessing. He is glorified. He glorifies himself in leading you. If you look at this verse in verse 2, in verse 3, he says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We quickly, when we read this passage, we love to read about lying down in green pastures, leading beside still waters, restoration of the soul. But leading in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Isn't he supposed to be leading me in paths for my sake? Well, actually, no. The Lord is glorified and glorifies himself by leading you. I had a friend who his grandparents owned a farm, and they had sheep. One of the older sheep, she was quite old, and she was kept in a pen all by herself because her days were fast coming to a close. And my friend, he decided he would sneak in the barn and try to spook the sheep. I don't know what the sheep's name was, but anyway, he snuck in there, snuck up behind the sheep. The sheep was standing there completely minding her own business and not doing anything to hurt anybody. And so they're chewing her cud. He jumped out around the corner and said, "Hey, sheep!" Sheep went ballistic. She was partially blind and was a sheep. And so she bolted straight ahead just to get away from whatever it was that was spooking her and ran straight into the wall and subsequently fell over and expired while my friend stood there in shock. But sheep are very easily spooked. Sheep are easily scared. And a good shepherd knows just the pastures that are good for the sheep, but also knows what kind of water is good for the sheep. Fast-moving water, the sheep are scared of, and they won't go drink. The Lord knows your fears. The Lord knows our fears. What are you afraid of today? The Lord knows, the Lord cares, and the Lord takes care to lead you by still waters. He does what only he can do. When he glorifies himself by leading you, he restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his own sake. His own namesake is at stake when he leads you. Do you think that he would not take care of you then if his own reputation is at stake when he leads you? My mind goes back to the Old Testament when Moses was with Israel and the children of Israel had sinned at Mount Sinai by building the golden calf. And if you remember, God was very angry and he said to Moses, "Get out of the way. I'm going to destroy these people and I will keep my promise to Abraham through you." And what did Moses pray at that point in time? He interceded for Israel, but he appealed to the Lord for the Lord's name's sake. He said, "Oh Lord, what about the nations that have seen you lead these people out of Egypt? Will they not say that the Lord couldn't lead them to the promised land?" You know, the Lord is leading us for his own namesake. We can trust him. His sheep lack for nothing because he provides for your pleasant places. His sheep lack for nothing because the shepherd provides the glory due himself by leading you. His sheep lack for nothing because the shepherd leads through hardship. We love to go right to green pastures, still waters, restoration of the soul, and then we like to skip verse 4 and go to the rest of the passage. But verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." If you look at this passage, if we look at the words coming right out of verse 3, he says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then it's almost as if David, the psalmist, gives an example of what kind of righteous path we might go down. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Do you realize that your shepherd leads you through valleys, and yet those valleys are still a part of his righteous paths for you? I know all of you have gone through dark valleys in your lifetime before. And I know there's probably some very heavy hearts even this morning here today. But the Lord never wastes pain. The Lord never wastes the valleys. I remember back in 2009 when I was in Bob Jones University. I was working at a camp that summer. And it was during that camp the Lord really was working in my heart and really stretching me in many ways. One particular way was some things going on back home while I was not there. It was my first summer really working away from home. And so the Lord was teaching me and working a lot in my heart. And one thing he was teaching me was the value of my parents, particularly my father. Being about 20, I think I was at that time, 20, I was just learning that I don't have much wisdom on my own, and I'm not as smart as I thought I was going from pre-uni to university. And I was learning that my dad, he's pretty wise. He was a smart guy, and he had been around the block a lot more times than I had been, and I probably should go to him more for advice. I was learning these things. I was learning the value of my parents, but also the Lord was teaching me some other things, because that summer my father had terminal colon cancer, and the Lord took him that summer while I was working at camp. And that was really hard for me. That was really hard because I was just kind of learning that, you know, I need my dad. I need my dad to kind of help steer me, because I don't know all the answers to life, and I have lots of questions. But the Lord took him home during that summer. And that was a dark valley that the Lord took me through. And actually still, sometimes it's hard to look back and be like, "Well, I can't call home, can't call dad and ask him, what should I do? What do I do in Singapore?" But the Lord knows. And actually, the valley he's taken me through is actually a part of his righteous path. And we see in many other places in Scripture, particularly Romans 8 or James chapter 1, that actually these trials, these valleys we go through, actually the Lord is using to make you and I a little more like Christ. And that's actually his goal for us. The Lord's sheep lacking for nothing because the shepherd leads them through hardship. The valleys are still his righteous paths. But your enemies also cannot challenge his leading. Do you see that in this verse here? He says, in verse 5, he says, "Thou preparest a table before me
in the presence of mine enemies. Many, many years ago, when slavery was rather rampant in most cultures, there was a certain large family that had over 13 children, most of whom were boys. As boys usually do, there's a lot of rivalries growing up, but this particular family had some very deep-seated rivalries, so much so that one of the younger boys was eventually sold as a slave to a neighboring Bedouin tribe. I'm sure you all know the story of Joseph. What did God do through that trial? What did God do through bringing Joseph through that valley in life? In fact, that wasn't the only valley he went through. He went through many, as you well know. But what did God do through that event in Joseph's life? At the end of Genesis, we hear Joseph telling his brothers, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." The very fact that God is sovereign, that God is in control, he knows just how to bring you through the valley, even using our enemies, the devil, the world around us, maybe those coworkers that really just are out to get you. He actually uses our enemies to shape us to be more like his son and to bring about good. In that story in Genesis, we know that God used Joseph to save thousands and thousands of people across that part of the world, but also to save his own family from famine. And later, the nation of Israel will leave Egypt after going there for several hundred years. But the Lord used Joseph's trial. The Lord used it in his life to spare many. It was a good thing that Joseph went down to Egypt. It was not fun, but it was a good thing. His sheep lack for nothing because your shepherd plans for your future. If we look at this toward the end of this verse, he says in verse 5, he says, "Thou anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy. His goodness and steadfast love are ever present. You know how we know that? Because he leads us through those valleys. He stays with us. He never leaves. Do you know your shepherd? Do you know that he's there? Even when you cannot sense, feel that he's there, we don't live by feeling, and we know that. But do we actually consciously go back to the fact that my shepherd is with me? My shepherd will not leave me. His goodness and his steadfast love, his mercy are everlasting. They are ever present. They are never waning. His dwelling place is your destination. You know, so many times, if you go back to the sheep scenario, so many times sheep are easily distracted by the little patches of green grass here and there. Oh, I want to go eat that. Oh, I want to go eat that. Oh, I want to just sit here and chew my cud. But actually, God, our shepherd, has something so much greater in mind for us than we have in mind for us. And we are so too easily satisfied by the little things here and there that bring us joy, that bring us contentment. And when they're taken away, we lose that joy, we lose that contentment. But his dwelling place is actually our final destination. We are strangers in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, as the songwriter wrote. Now, actually, I skipped something on purpose. What do you think is the main focus of this song?
Let me ask it this way. What is the hardest part of this psalm to believe?
If you read, let's go ahead and read through it again. I'll read it for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I intentionally skipped over verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For me, this part of this passage is the hardest part to believe day in and day out. Because I have a wanter that is very ferocious. It loves to want things that it actually does not need. But what this passage is actually saying is, if the Lord is your shepherd, today, right now, you actually want for nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If this passage is true, if this passage is really saying what it is saying, if the Lord is truly my shepherd, then that means my current circumstances, the places where I'm at right now in life, actually, the Lord has me there, and I want for nothing. What do you feel like are your biggest felt needs right now? If you were to think through, what are my needs? You know, PSLE is almost over for some people maybe in here. In levels, maybe has a few papers left maybe. O levels, they'll end in maybe November sometime. Hopefully they'll end sometime. A levels, well, they finish in December. Maybe you're out of school. Maybe certain bills you're trying to pay off. Or if you could just land that job that has such and such a payment, or such and such a workplace, or such and such a work hours. Or if those classmates at school would just be nice to me. Or if my spouse would just get the picture. Or if I could just get a new job, or a new boss, or new coworkers, or if the Lord would just heal this back pain or this chronic illness, or if my child would just come back to the Lord, or maybe I just need a new iPhone 6S. What are your biggest felt needs right now? What do you put your hope on? Where do you settle your trust? We can tell where our hope lies when it is threatened. When something comes to steal away that item, that status, that stability financially or whatever, I immediately go to defend it. I immediately go to hold it fast. And if it's taken away, my joy is robbed from me. My contentment lies in shambles. What about those needs that you've been praying for the last several years? Maybe the salvation of a loved one, healing from an illness, that relationship that you've been longing for, that achieving that financial threshold, or just that new boss, or that particular trial you're in right now that you would love to be over. You know, this passage is for all of us. Because if the Lord is truly our shepherd, we want for nothing right now. Yes, we do have needs, but yes, the Lord knows. He knows we need green pastures. He knows we need still waters. He knows he needs to, he only can restore our soul. He knows that we need actually righteous paths of his to go down. We cannot come up with a righteousness of our own in our own wisdom. As Proverbs clearly tells us, we have no wisdom in our own. We should not be wise in our own eyes, but we should fear the Lord. In those paths where we struggle to see the hand of the Lord, the psalmist David, he clearly ran to the Lord when he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. He probably thought many times, I'm going to die today. But he knew the Lord had a plan. He knew the Lord had purpose. Whether it was when he was attacking the bear or the lion when he was a shepherd, or whether it was when Saul was chasing him, he was hiding in a cave for however long, fearing for his life, whether it was when he was fleeing from his enemies as a king, or whether it was on his deathbed, he knew his shepherd. He knew that his shepherd was leading him. And even though he was facing that shadow of death, he knew he did not have to fear evil because the Lord was with him. I'm not sure what valley you might be going through right now or today or have just gotten out of. And I don't know what trials maybe you're about to enter that maybe you don't even know. But whatever they are, the Lord, if the Lord is our shepherd, we do not want, and we do not need to fear, because he provides our needs. Do you know your shepherd today? What are your biggest needs this morning? If we were to apply this to our hearts today, maybe we could ask some questions. How might this passage change how you view your shepherd? If we look at this passage, it actually is describing the Lord. The Lord is the main subject. He does these things. You know, a lot of times we read scripture and we're looking for the do's and the don'ts, right? Oh, what do I need to do today? Or what do I need to not do today? And I read a portion of scripture and I try to find it and I go away thinking, okay, don't do this or do this. Actually, a lot of scripture, God wants you to know something. Not just in your head. He wants you to know it in your heart. He says, hey, this is who I am. Look at what I do for you. Look at who I am, my character. I am unchanging. I am a shepherd. Do you know your shepherd? How might this passage change what you know about your shepherd? How might this passage change how we pray about our felt needs? You know, it's a very interesting study to go look through the New Testament and find different prayers to see what they prayed for. What did Paul pray for? What did Peter pray for? What did Christ pray for when he prayed? You know, Christ even, he asked to be let out of the valley if it was God's will. He submitted his heart to the Lord. He knew that his Lord would not lead him anywhere where he would not stay with him. What current circumstances are robbing you of your trust in your shepherd this morning? What makes you discontent? I very easily, when I'm working with the teens, it's very easy for me to become discontent when a teen doesn't respond, or I WhatsApp him and 2 months later he WhatsApp back. I can easily get discontent by not knowing what people are thinking of me. I always am wondering, what are they thinking? Like, why did they look at me like that? Why did they say that to them? But that's just fear of man in my heart. That's just what I'm like. But it shouldn't make me discontent. It should not rob me of my contentment in the Lord, because the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want for anything. Do you know your shepherd this morning? I'd encourage you to put this whole psalm to memory. I'd encourage you to pray this psalm to your own heart and instruct your heart to believe this. I really do believe that if we knew our shepherd the way this psalm presents him, I believe that would radically change our prayer life. Maybe we wouldn't ask so much to be released from trial, but rather to trust our shepherd in that trial. We believe that we wouldn't necessarily ask more for more things, but we would ask the Lord to show us his righteous paths and to help us follow our shepherd. It's very hard to believe that in the moment when I have that felt want or need and the Lord is not providing it, that actually the Lord knows I don't need it right now. And to trust him, that's so hard. But the Lord is your shepherd. You do not want. He is all you need. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. We'll go to the Lord in prayer as I close. Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for your words that you've given to us. Lord, I know that I have very crudely explained this passage, but Lord, I pray that you would take the words that you have written down here through David, pray that you would apply them to our heart, pray that we would instruct our heart's desires, our heart's fears, our heart's wrestlings with this passage, with this truth of who you are. Lord, I pray that we would, even this week, that we would seek to know you more so that we can trust you. Lord, we cannot trust what we do not know. And I pray that we would seek to know you as our shepherd. Lord, if anyone here today does not know you as their shepherd and cannot claim you as their shepherd, Lord, I pray that you would soften their hearts today and draw them to yourself. Lord, you are interested in your sheep. You care for your sheep. And you tell us to cast all our burdens upon you because you care for us. Lord, I pray that we would not just pass by these words as something that, well, we've heard that before, but Lord, that we would take these to heart, that we would realize that we want for nothing today. And Lord, I pray that we would cast our burdens on you and that we would trust you, even as you bring us through valleys, and that we would glorify you and praise you just as much for the valleys as we do for the green pastures. Lord, I pray that you would instruct our hearts this morning and help us to know and love you more. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share just a little bit of what I've been learning this year. I pray that you would continue to grow and teach us all and help us become more like Christ. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen.